Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here. You guys get the front row. Congratulations and welcome. They always say it, I make it painful for those who sit in the front row. So. Where are you guys from? Lake City. Just down the road from Wabasha. You guys up the road. You had that tall basketball player. Oh, yeah. You still live there? What do you do? And you're visiting up at the lake?
Yep.
You have joined a bunch of saints today. And I hate to tell you this, but the holiness is going to just drip right off on you. All right, good. It's nice having you here. Let's greet one another if you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you. I should let you know, we only have one rule in this church. That is, we always tell the truth unless we talk about fishing or hunting. Okay? I think most of the announcements are pretty self-explanatory. Skip wanted to make sure and let you know that there's sign-up sheets for helping with the beef and corn feed two Saturdays from now. So take a look at that. Pat Becker, you've got an announcement.
One minute.
You promise.
It's an inside joke. But as you know, Pastor Jim is going to be retiring, and we're going to be having a brunch and a program on Sunday, August 28th. And so this coming newsletter, there's going to be an invitation in there with an RSVP, because the brunch is going to be catered, and we need to know how much food to prepare. So when you get your newsletter, there'll be an insert for you to return. So please do that. And I think there's a deadline date on there also. The other thing is that I'm part of the program committee. And so if you would like to be on the program committee, please talk to me. Or if you would like to be part of the program, please come and see me or talk to me within the next couple of weeks.
Can you tell us what that program's going to sound like?
That is going to be a secret. So,
I can't wait. Thank you.
And it'll be okay.
Okay. I trust you. We've gathered to thank the Lord for his many blessings. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather from a variety of backgrounds, places, and yet your word is solid. You promise us your love, your forgiveness, your joy, your peace. Stir your spirit in our hearts and bring those things to our lives and help us to be your presence in the world that might bring all these things to bear. Love, joy, peace, patience. Bless us now in this hour together in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse of Lift High the Cross. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Thank you.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess, just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins. And free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ our Savior. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you. Amen. Let's join in the prayer of the day. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Wow, that's a great song, isn't it? Today's first reading is from Colossians. Sometimes Paul preaches with great attention to theological concepts. Here, however, Paul offers a mystical teaching that the great mystery of God is Christ in you, because Christ is present in the church. Christians share in this life, suffering, and glory. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshy body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to have every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Today's psalm is Psalm 15. Please read where you see the bold print, and when you see the bold R, read the refrain, Lord, who may abide upon your holy hill. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who hear the name of the Lord, you who are the strife, who see the truth from their heart. Lord, who may abide upon your holy hill.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health, and do not take back their word.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
Lord, may you abide upon your hill.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this ninth Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 10th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus uses his visit to two sisters as an occasion to remind disciples that an important aspect of obedience is single-minded devotion to Jesus and his word. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, Day by Day, 790.
Lord, attend me, bringing glory.
our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. An entry to that song was just to listen to find out if there's any great singers in this church so we can have you join the choir. So that was planned, okay? Our lessons today are interesting lessons. First, we have Martha working her tail off in the kitchen and trying to get the place prepared and the food prepared for Jesus and his disciples. And Mary sits, listens to the words of Jesus. And finally, Martha says, "Lord, tell Mary to get off her lazy duff and come to help." And Jesus says, "No, Martha, Mary's doing the right thing. She's appreciating her company and the friendship that we have." Then we have Paul writing in Colossians. It's a pretty tough lesson, but what I picked out of there was he says, "Rejoice in your sufferings." How do we rejoice in our sufferings? I mean, our friend Roy's been fighting bronchitis. Some of us have summer colds. Some of us have pains. And how do we rejoice in our sufferings? Maybe what Jesus is saying, or Paul is saying here, is that when you're in pain, when you're in suffering, all you have is the love of Jesus to call on, the presence and the power of Jesus' Spirit. So rely on him. Take it like it's happening, and it'll help your faith down the road, okay? Both of these lessons give advice as to where we can find happiness and joy and peace in our lives. They're trying to help us to understand, to take our time, and to trust in the power of God. As Pat announced today, they're having some kind of a retirement get-together for me. I've been thinking a lot about retirement. In fact, I've been asking a lot of you about this business of retirement. I'm wondering what I'm going to do with my time. People are asking, what are you going to do? Do you have some hobbies? Do you have some things you want to do? I heard the old cliche, you know, I've never heard anybody say they wanted to spend more time in the office. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to try not to spend time in the office. I've been asking questions, and I'd like to ask you a question today. What do you like to spend your time on? What do you most enjoy spending your time on? As I've asked around, I hear very little from you wise older people. Very, very seldom do you talk about your regrets. In fact, with wisdom, I think, comes acceptance of the good and the bad things we've done. Huh? The wise blame no one but themselves for their troubled times, for their times when they went through difficult situations, divorce, or hurt a neighbor, or family troubles, or whatever. I never hear people, wise people, blame others. Huh? They kind of laugh about it, and then they forgive themselves. Basically, what I'm learning is that when we examine our lives and when you peel away the stupid things that we've done, what I hear is people laughing at the things they've done. What an idiot I was, I've heard people say. What stupid. And then they laugh and say, well, that's life. We're all in this together, huh? I remember visiting Pastor Winnie Johnson. You remember Winnie? Those of you who do know, you were blessed. His wife Marge was laying on the couch. She was maybe 2 or 3 months away from joining God in heaven. And he and I had some time together, and I asked Winnie, what's it all about? I mean, I thought I might as well learn something from a wise old man. What's it all about, Winnie? And he said, here's something. I'm going to give you an assignment. He said, I want you to stop at, when you go to the hospital, any hospital will do. He says, go in the chapel, and usually in the chapel there's a book that people write in. And read some of the things that people write in those books in the chapel. Well, the following week I was down at Abbott Northwestern, and I wandered by the chapel. I was waiting for someone to get out of surgery, so I had a few minutes. I thought, okay, I'll go in there. And there was an old beaten-up notebook tied to a desk. You know, those ones they had in college. Do you still use them in college? No, you got computers now. They had those line things with the spiral. People had written notes in there, okay? And I thought there might be something like, hi to mom and dad, or, you know, things like that. But they were all pretty serious. They were like, dear Lord, or dear God, or dear Jesus. And they were prayers. And it had been like I tapped into God's computer himself. I almost felt like an intruder, a voyeur looking in on people's lives. But I thought, you know, Winnie says to learn something from this, so I thought I'd go on. That's my excuse. I didn't walk away. Here I was, lessons to be learned, fast and hard lessons, according to Winnie, so I thought I'd spend some time. I wrote a few things down. I was going through all my old papers, thought of what I would save. One of those notes in that notebook was a teenage boy wrote this message that said, dear God, please take care of my sister and my newborn nephew. Help my sister and brother-in-law to raise their children to be better than I am. Please take care of my parents and of me while I'm in jail. Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I've done. And speaking of regrets, a young woman wrote of her father lying two floors above in critical condition. Dear God, my father is the greatest man I know. Even though the last words I spoke to him were fighting words, I pray that he'll know that I love him and that the thought of going on without him brings me unbearable pain. Please don't take him yet. Please, please. Reminded me of something Teddy Roosevelt said. 9/10 of wisdom is being wise in time, knowing a moment of wisdom right now that this is the right thing to do. That seemed to be the case of another young wife who wrote this about her husband. She said, dear Lord, I know you're tired of my pleading for my husband, but he's my soulmate. If it be thy will, please bring him through his illness. Then there was a second entry a few down that said, thank you, Lord. Surgery is over. You've answered my prayers. Glimpsing these dramas made me appreciate the little joys in life. We take our health for granted. We take our relationships for granted. What's it all about? I asked myself. Winnie says, if you'll find the answer in those notes in that notebook at the chapel in the hospital. I picked out three entries, six sentences that I want to share with you that answered for me what it's all about. First one, dear God, renew hope for our family. The doctors tell me there is none. Second, dear God, let Dad wake up. Let him recover and go fishing. And the third one, dear Lord, it's day 22. I'm grateful that my son is breathing on his own. I hope you can let us have another little miracle and let him open his eyes or squeeze our hands. And then I figured it out, what it's all about. I figured it out. I thought, what an idiot I'd been. The secret to what it's all about is that it's no secret at all. It's about hope. It's about taking an outing together, like going fishing with your dad. It's about acknowledging the little miracles in life, like opening our eyes, like breathing, like seeing. That's what it's all about. We only need to truly experience each other's presence and not take it for granted. 90% of wisdom is appreciation for what we have. That's what it's all about. So go find someone's hand today. Squeeze it. Well, there's still time, because one day there won't be. That's what Jesus is telling us here to Mary and Martha. That's what Paul is telling us when we rejoice in our sufferings. Appreciate what you have. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our next hymn, 592. We'll ask the ushers to receive our morning offering. Thank you. Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all of you.
Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer
and Lord. Amen. Rooted in Christ and rising to serve, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. You open the doors of your church, Lord, to all who feel distant or estranged. Give us courage to share your good news through conversation and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Cultivate in all people a care for the world you have made. Make us mindful of our impact on creation for the good of our neighbor and future generations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reconcile and bring peace to communities that suffer. We especially remember Nice, people in Turkey, people in St. Paul and Minneapolis, and other places that are troubled these days. Raise up and strengthen leaders and organizations that promote dialogue, hospitality, and restoration. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Open our eyes to see those suffering in any affliction, even ourselves. Open our lips to boldly beg relief in body or spirit for all who are in need. We especially remember in our prayers Ron and Bill and Dee and Lois and Elsa and those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Bless and keep safe campers, counselors, and families who experience the gift of outdoor ministry at camps this summer. Continue transforming them in Christ once they are safely home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for those who are baptized today, Linda and Susan and Peyton. And we thank you for bringing Ray into our brother and sisterhood yesterday. We ask your blessing to be with our families. Keep them safe and close to you, Lord. Comfort your children with the trust that your word is stronger than death. We remember saints and loved ones who have died and rest in you. Hear us, O God. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting your promise to hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we come to Holy Communion, the Last Supper, the sacrament of the altar. Jesus, at his Last Supper, gave us a gift that has come down through the ages to touch us even today. At that last meal, he took bread, broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
All are welcome at the table of our Lord. If you are gluten intolerant, please let me know, and we will serve you bread that's appropriate. This morning we'll use intinction, so we invite you to dip your bread into the wine or the grape juice. Again, all are welcome at the table. Come, eat and drink.
Thank you.
Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion on the top of page 6. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the blood and the blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Proclaim the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Soon and Very Soon. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse.